Podcast, a discussion that focuses in the gold standard of the Word of Yahuwah. Here are your three hosts, Sholiach Moshe, Leader Yoshiyahu, and Leader Mordecai.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Oh. We're back with episode number 2 in our weekly panel, RSTNE Roundtable Podcast. We're back for episode number 2 in our expert panel. I'm your host, Sholiach Moshe Yosef Kalinichowski, a doctor of theology. I'm not a real doctor. I'm one of the theology doctors. We're here with our leader, Mordecai from Florida, our associate, as well as one of our leaders from Brazil, Yoshiyahu. Now, we're going to continue where we began last week, which is why are people resistant and why are people fighting the restoration of the revelation and the revelation of the restoration that are contained in 20 years of doctrinal work and study and fasting and prayer and digging into manuscripts. So we're going to continue to try to answer that question. But before we do, we're going to start with the same understanding that we began to have last week. And we start in Acts, Maaseh Shlichim. We'll pick it up with chapter 7 and with verse 37. The background on Acts 7:37, of course, is when Stephania is about to be murdered. He's about to be destroyed, his temple, and sacrificed as the first martyr of the renewed covenant. And in the he knows he's going to die in the process of being stoned by many of the Pharisees, along with Shaliach Shaul himself, who was holding the coat, being an accomplice of those who stoned him. He says, he's quoting Deuteronomy 18:18, and in Acts 7:37, this is Moshe, a Navi, said that the Master Yahuwah, your Elohim, would raise up a Navi like you from among your Israelite brothers. To him you must listen. If not, I will require, of course, his soul. Verse 38. This is he that was in the Edata, the Ecclesia, and the Kehillah of Israel. I want to point out this is what makes the Restoration Scripture so special. We have the Aramaic, Edata. We have the Greek, Ecclesia. We have the Kehillah. So which one is right? All of them are right. Because if the Greek was the original, it's Ecclesia. If the Hebrew was the original, it's the Kehillah. If the Aramaic is the original, so in other words, we're not adding to the word. We're giving you the full picture. So in your quiet time with the Father, you can determine what he is showing you. And we will not put the word church in, but we put three languages in, so you have the full picture. This is what a true restorer of the breach is willing to do. Who spoke to him on Har Sinai and spoke with our fathers, who received the living oracles or the living words to give us. So we have the written words, and then we have the living words. When Yahuwah gave them on Mount Sinai, they had not been written, but they were alive. Listen, they were alive before they were given to us. So the living words are still there, but they haven't been given to us. And as we dig them out of the ocean, we dig them out of the African continent, we dig them out from the Dead Sea Scrolls, we dig them out from the synagogue in India, we dig them out from the Cairo Gehenna. Okay, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but that you get my point. So that's how the word is given to us, because they're living out of our presence and out of our sight. When we reject that understanding, just like our fathers, who would not obey because they didn't know that there were living words. They just knew that what Abraham, the tradition of what Abraham did and said, and Yaakov did and said, and Yosef, how Yosef fed the people. They knew those words, but there were other words, living words, that our fathers would not receive. They did not obey. They turned back in their hearts to the things that they were familiar with, which included bondage and slavery and not being enjoying the fruits of freedom. Okay? And so he goes on to say at the end, verse 51, and this is what he's saying to this generation. If you judge a matter before considering the matter, then you are walking in the flesh. If you are judging a situation without using the restoration scriptures and studying with the restoration scriptures for whatever resistance you're offering, this is what the word of Yahuwah says. You may be saved, but you have a condition of a stiff neck. You may be saved, but you're not fully circumcised in your heart. Verse 51, Acts 7:51, and you always resist what the Ruach HaKodesh is doing, and just like your fathers did. Well, what are you doing that your fathers did? It goes back to what we just read. You are resisting the living oracles, okay? Because you're holding on to the sweet memories of Egypt and what Abraham said and what Enoch said and what Jacob said. And when something that was hidden from you before is given to you, you do not receive it. And this is the condition of this present generation. I'm here with my good friends and associates, Elder Mordechai and Leader, I'll call him Leader Mordechai and Leader Yoshiyahu. More importantly, they're students and proclaimers of the word of Yahuwah, and they're not ashamed of the RSTNE, and they're part of our panel on the RSTNE Restoration Scriptures True Name Edition Roundtable, episode number 2. Welcome, brethren. It's open season on the devil. Come on now. Let's talk. Woo! Open season on the devil. Let's go. Let's talk. Whatever the Ruach has put in your heart, the good, the very good, and the even the challenging part.
Well, I want to say a little while back, I went, well, by years, maybe about 2-3 years ago, I went to a church in Punta Gorda, and the pastor let me teach and preach every Wednesday. He never came out to hear me. The second Wednesday, he came out. And he heard what I was saying, and he kicked me out of the church. I was talking about the word church was never, is the wrong translation, was never in the scriptures, and the depth of that word. So he said, well, yeah, ecclesia. And I said, well, the depths of the ecclesia word really brings you back to the Israelites, because the first meaning of ecclesia is called out from their homes into a public place. The second meaning is assembly of Israelites. That is the meaning of ecclesia. So we're talking about the Restoration of Scriptures True Name Edition. The Restoration of Scriptures True Name Edition, it says ecclesia, gives you the translation, because we are about the Israelite lifestyle. Whatever the Israelites did back in those days, this is what we do now, because Yahuwah does not change. Yahuwah is the same. He says it in, I think it's the book of Amos, if I'm not wrong, he say, I do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. Okay, so the Restoration of Scriptures True Name Edition brings you to that ecclesia, to that assembly of Israelites, not the church, as it speaks today on modern day, the church, but the ecclesia, the assembly of Hebrews, the assembly of Israelites doing what our forefathers before us used to do, back to the ancient path. That's what I wanted to use.
Wow. Yeah. What's in a word? It's a lot in a word.
Yep.
And but the overriding thing is, we began this panel discussion in the last episode, why are people so resistant to what the Ruach is doing through the Restoration Scriptures True Name Edition? And the answer, as all answers are, the answer is in the word of Yahuwah. Because when the living oracles, the sword that cuts and requires change and a departure, a kadosh departure from the ways of slavery, because that's what the Torah was. It was to take you out of the ways of slavery. But the people were so used to the ways of slavery, they preferred the ways of slavery. In essence, they preferred Pharaoh's instructions. In essence, they preferred Pharaoh's Torah. Think about that. Well, I'm going to go with Pharaoh's Torah because at least I can eat, right? And if I use the Restoration Scriptures, ooh, and they catch it on my coffee table, my wife may not talk to me, my children may not talk to me, they may not return my calls, they'll think I joined the cult. So it all comes down to you've made your choice. The blood of your family, pleasing the blood of your family is more important to you than pleasing the one who bled for you, the Messiah Yahushua. Yoshi, you wanted to chip in there?
My thought goes along with what we were discussing before, and it also goes along with Mordechai was talking about, is that we are called to be Bereans. That in no way, shape, or form means that we read one verse 20 years ago and now we cannot verify this verse again with better and further understanding. As he said, as he gave the word ecclesia and the deepest meanings that we don't have in the Western society, because our society has basically been geared to speed and efficiency, when we know that Yahuwah is not concerned with time. He doesn't have 24 hours in a day. He lives outside time. So his revelations are prolonged and in a long process revealed to us. And his words are way more meaningful than we can ever grasp. We can scratch the surface on it like we did with Ecclesia, like we did with the Miksat Maaseh HaTorah, like we did also with that passage that Shaul was talking about that is considered controversial in the Messianic movements, that, the Messiah is the end of the law, when we see that in the Greek it says is the target that we aim at, in order, like the Messiah is the goal, the final goal, to be like him as much as possible. We are basically just investigating. We are making sure that what is given to us as spiritual food is actually spiritual food, as you guys were giving the example of fast food in our generation. It's very prevalent, and people don't care because they have many things to do. They have to go to work. They have to feed their families and whatnot. Okay, that's necessary. The one that doesn't work is worse than an infidel. But that doesn't mean that you can compromise your whole spiritual life or maybe your salvation in certain topics because you just don't want to read a little further or a little deeper, a word or a verse that somebody told you that never sat with you right. For instance, that kings and priests thing, I always... because I'm in the faith for 4 years, so I've just been reading the scriptures for 4 years.
Explain. But, wait. Revelation 1:6 and what else? There's another 1:5, I think it is.
It's just 1:6 that explicitly says.
Explain to the people what you mean because they haven't heard you.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah.
We're on Amazon. We're on Spotify. They have no clue what you're. They have no clue what you're talking. Explain to the people what Yahuwah showed you, and then you showed me. And I immediately made that change in the RST.
Right. So in Revelation 1:6, only in the King James, it talks about that we are the kings and priests that are going to rule and reign with Messiah. Okay. Why that doesn't make any sense? Because in the book of Hosea, and actually 2 Peter, he talks about this passage in the book of Hosea, chapter 1, verse 10, if I'm not mistaken. It says that we as a people in the restoration of all things are going to appoint to ourselves one head, one king, one leader. And Messiah is from the lineage of David, the final king of our people and the final Melchizedek. So how are we supposed to be kings in one book if we are not, if there is only one king in an older book that basically makes part and is the part of the compilation of the same thing?
We're forbidden to claim kingship.
We are forbidden to claim kingship.
We are forbidden to claim kingship.
And that was our first national mistake in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Oh, we want a human king that can battle for us, that we can see him swinging a sword. That was our first national mistake.
Come on now.
And then Yahuwah showed me, okay, but there's something wrong here. So I went and I did a deep search with the Ruach guiding me. And the only version that talks about kings and priests is the King James, that sadly is the basis for almost everything we had out there. And that basically confirms the whole Anglican church origin, because the king of England, at least in the medieval ages, he was supposed to be the state leader and also the spiritual leader, because they merged everything in order not to give power to the clergy, in order not to give power to priests, because the church was getting way too powerful for their taste. So they basically united everything and made the Anglican church, where the king is the priest. Therefore, his followers are going to be the kings and priests. But that doesn't make any sense, because Yahusha said, I am the King of Kings. Before everything was, I am. So how's that supposed to happen? And that just happened with like a few days of research, just a matter of reading the manuscripts, the most original that we can find nowadays, because we don't have the parchments in our hands. We don't have access to the Israeli museum. We cannot go to the Vatican with free access to check them in person.
Here's what you don't know. William Tyndale, Miles Cloverdale, were subjects of the throne. Miles Cloverdale worked in the king's court. So when King James modified the Geneva Anglican Bible with the deacons in Geneva, the panel reviewed that stuff they came up with. He made a few modifications. He says he has made us priests and kings. Well, who are the kings? Miles Cloverdale, William Tyndale, who were not Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek scholars. Now, I'm not going to lie. They had an intermediate understanding, like you, like the two of you. You're not Hebrew scholars or Greek scholars, but you have, through studying, you have a basic intermediate. Yeah, that's who they were. They were certainly not experts. But exactly what you're saying, think about this. Who are the we? Revelation 1:6. The actual text says, has made us priests, which goes back to the Torah, where Yahuwah says, Vatayeli, and you will be for me, Vatayeli mamlechet kohanim, a kingdom of kohanim, not a kingdom of kings. So who are the kings that King James, the homosexual, and his murderous wife, Bloody Mary, wanted you to think? That they, the hierarchy of the English court and the Anglican church, were the new kings, which means Yahuwah is no longer king, Yahusha is no longer king, and everybody who's loyal to me, I will make a king. Man, that devil, and that's the Bible you're reading. I don't care if you're on Spotify, I don't care if you're listening on iTunes, I don't care if you're listening on Amazon. We love you enough to tell you in this round table, well, we had to find out the hard way, and we're sparing you from this agenda. You need to come out of the Anglican Church. Everybody who reads these versions, do you realize, are indebted to the Anglican Church? Do you realize that? You are a servant slave of Egypt, the Anglican Church. And now, like Mordechai was sharing with us in the first episode, now you're at a crossroads, because now you're being told to listen for the voice of the trumpet, not the king's court. You're being told to listen for the voice of the shofar and not the king's court.
And that's not a matter of being braggadocious. It's a matter of salvation sometimes, because if you consider any man a king over Yahusha, he is not your master. The man you consider a king is your master. So let's say the King James in the version of 1611 says, okay, I am the king of the priests because I am the head of the state and the priest of the Anglican church. Okay, now you owe your allegiance to a man, not to Yahusha. So the little investigations that the Ruach guides us to do, such as this one, such as all the Sholeach Moshe and his family has been doing through this 40 years, to this 20 years of investigation in the RCNE, all of them, some of them are minor, but some of them are major. such as a lot of other things.
And Yahuwah used you to bring that to my attention. And was I stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart? I looked into the Greek, bastios. There's nothing there about kings.
Basilea. Basilea, the word that means kingdom.
There you go. Okay. So go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah, just to finish the thought. It's not about being more Jewish than the Jews, or not about knowing every language. it's about trying to get the purest version you can find, because sometimes it can harm your salvation if you don't. It's a matter of trying to protect yourself and protect your gates. We are supposed to guard our gates against what?
So the
bad doctrines and whatever.
Restoration scriptures is part of what Peter said, Shimon Kifa, make your calling and election sure. And one of the ways to make it sure is to read the most original versions, and that's why we don't we round out verses like you just saw in Acts 7. We put the Aramaic, the Greek, and the Hebrew in one verse. So you have a complete picture. What we didn't put there was the church. What we don't put in Revelation 1:6 is that you're a king. Who was it in the time of the Gospels? Who was it that says, now see if you could see the same spirit. We have no king but our king, Kaiser, Caesar. So those versions, they have unclean, demonic, religious spirits that want to keep you chained to the British throne. Now, I love the British people, believe me. I love the British football, soccer. I have nothing. I love, if I couldn't live in the U.S., I'd live in England. That's just me. So I love the everything that has to do with the British people. But when it comes to spiritual matters, what people don't understand is all these, all, I didn't say King James, all the English translations were in servitude and indebted not only to the throne, but they, Cloverdale and Tyndale worked in the king's court. They were in politics. You're not listening. They were in politics on behalf of the king. And when the Jews said, we have no king but Caesar, they weren't lying. If you make Caesar your king, he'll turn around and make you a king because of loyalty. Does it sound like anybody you know in politics today? One hand washes the other, right? But when we come to the restoration scriptures, Yahuwah does the washing and washes his bride. And when Israel wanted to make a king, he said, give us a king like all the nations. We want to be like, we don't want to be like Yahusha. No, we want to be like all the nations. Yahusha said, are you sure? And then he said to Samuel, show them what kind of a king they're going to get. It doesn't matter. We want to have the same Bible that everybody else has so we don't lose our children and our grandchildren and they don't stop answering our telephone calls. Okay, you have your reward. All those who refuse to be open, not about atheism or agnosticism or pantheism, no. To be open to the restoration of some of the stuff that the apostles used. That's what we're asking. We're not asking you to give up your faith. We're asking you to do exactly what our brother Mordecai was talking about last time, is stand and put yourself at the crossroads all over again, even though you've been saved for 30 years. Put yourself at the crossroads, but this time make Yahusha king and not be a subject of the king's court by buying into their translations, believing that the Geneva Bible, that Cloverdale and Tyndale stood at Mount Sinai. We just read it was Moses who stood at Mount Sinai. Moses is our forefather. These guys probably weren't even Hebrews. So we've made these people king again, just like in the days of Samuel when they made Saul king. And Yahuwah, you know, if you read deep into the text, Yahuwah was brokenhearted. He was broken. He was weeping. He was saying, what have you done? I am your king. That's what makes you different. What makes you different than all the nations is I am your king. And we can carry that right over to different versions of the scriptures. We can carry that right into the spiritual realm. Gentlemen, yeah, go ahead.
Well, the topic here is why do some people reject the restoration of scriptures, because thousands and thousands of people are getting the restoration of scriptures. But some people are rejecting the restoration of scriptures. That's the truth.
Why? Mordecai, excuse me. I'll let you go. Even if 20,000 people order the restoration of scriptures, it's a remnant. It's a remnant. There are 7 billion people on earth who won't even take a look at it, have never heard of it. So you're right. There are thousands who are using the restorations, but in retrospect, it's a remnant, right?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead.
Well, they for years they have used to sense very small calling Yahuwah God and Lord. The very name of the RSTNA is Restoration of Scriptures True Name Edition. Okay, as it were and as it is, and every manuscript that you get from thousands of years, it always says the true name in Hebrew. It doesn't say Lord. It doesn't say God. And I'm going to read you some scriptures from the Restoration of Scriptures, True Name Edition. And I'm going to compare some about 38 different translations in Psalm 68. Okay? Now, the Restoration of Scriptures tells you that the name of Elohim is Yahuwah. It's been taken out of your Bibles, about 7,000. I cannot say the exact number. And has been replaced with Lord and God. Really, Lord in Hebrew comes from Baal or Bel, which is the devil. Like as that of Beelzebub or Lord of the Flies, you never ever called Yahuwah Bel in the scriptures. No. The word God comes from the Hindu, from one of their deities named Goth. So, and then there's a wordplay and then they call it God. So you've been calling Yahuwah the Most High, your creator, the wrong name. The Restoration of Scriptures True Name Edition will bring you to the true name of the Most High.
That's you right.
Might say, yeah. You might say, well, he listens. It's okay. I can call him anything. Well, wouldn't you want to be in the truth? And wouldn't you want to listen to what the Restoration of Scripture says about the true name? I want to read to you. Exodus, let us go to Exodus. And this is not the first time the name of Yahuwah is mentioned. Okay, back in Genesis, Genesis 1 or 2, it says that in those days, the people started calling on the name of Yahuwah, which is very important. Now listen, let us go to Shemoth, Exodus 3, verse 14 and 15, it says, and the word of Elohim said to Moshe, let me start from 13. And Moshe said to Elohim, which is by your translation says God or the Lord. Over here it says Elohim, which is different from God and Lord. And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel, And shall I say to them, the Elohim of your Ahavot, the Elohim of your forefathers, has sent me to you. And they shall say to me, what is his name and what should I tell them? What is his name and what should I tell them? That means it was very important for the Hebrews back then to know, okay, what is his name? Because there was a lot of other pagan deities with different names, but they knew the name, and they were not calling him God and Lord. Okay? 14. And the word of Elohim said to Moshe, or I am that I am, or I will be whatever you need me to be in the instant that you need it. Okay? And he said, Yahuwah said, this shall you said to the children of Israel, Ehyeh has sent me to you. Now, in your Bible, on verse 15, it says, in your Bible says, and Elohim or and God or the Lord said moreover to Moses, this shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God of your forefathers has sent me to you. So on and so forth. I want to read to you what the Restoration of Scriptures True Name Edition says from the Hebrew. Okay? From the Hebrew. It says, and Elohim said moreover to Moshe. See, you can't stop on verse 14 and say, I am that I am. That's his name. I am that I am. You got to keep reading because Elohim is still talking. He says, and Elohim said moreover to Moshe, this shall you say to the children of Israel. And then it says the name, Yahuwah, Elohim of your forefathers, of Yahavot, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzchak, the Elohim of Yaakov, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is your name. This is my name. Yahuwah says, Leolam Vaed, and this is my memorial to all generations. So Yahuwah wants you to, for all generations, to call him by his name, as the restoration of scripture says, and has restored the name, which very few right. Bibles right. have done that.
Right. So and in order, go ahead.
So you are thinking in your mind now, his name forever is Lord and God. No, mm-hmm. it's not. You have to call him by his name. Now, I have a scripture here to prove it. If you go to Psalm 68, I have 38. I went to Bible Hub. In Bible Hub, I can mention 38 different translations. In this 38 different translation, for the most part, says Lord, 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 Lord. The King James. Now, the King James say by his name, Yah. Okay, so if you go by the King James is testifying that the restoration of scriptures is on point when it doesn't say Lord and God.
Yeah, now, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yep. Now, Yah is the poetic abbreviation of his name, Yahuwah. So Psalm 68 says, sing, in the King James, it says, sings to God. The restoration of scripture don't say that. Okay, sings to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rises in the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. The restoration of scripture says by his name, Yah. So now you're going to go by the King James. So the King James is quoting his name, Yah, which is very important to quote his name. There are maybe two more translations.
But it leaves it out 9,000 other times.
Exactly.
Why not go with the full restoration exactly. instead of one restoration out of 9,000 times? The King James yes, restores the name one time out of 9,000 if we include the New Testament. Okay, our scriptures include it every time because we take Exodus 3, 14, and 15 seriously.
Amen. His name is Yahuwah forever, for all generations. This is, I believe, also why the people are rejected, because they're so used right. to Lord and God. But look, if as a child you have been taught that the color green is blue and the blue is green,
yeah,
you're going to grow up with that.
That's right.
And it's going to be very hard.
That's what Isaiah 6 says. Woe to those who call bitter sweet and sweet bitter.
Yeah.
Woe to those who call Yahuwah Baal, who call mm-hmm. Baal Yahuwah. Right, up is down, left is right. White chocolate is black chocolate. Black chocolate is white chocolate. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And whoa, whoa, whoa means you're in judgment. You better get out of judgment line and into salvation line. But getting back to the overall theme, okay, which is very important. And thank you for bringing up those very important points. Here's the counter to that. Now, those of who are in the Hebraic Roots movement today have many, many versions that use the true name. You have this, and we'll talk about that in another episode. We're getting a little bit off topic. We'll talk about that in another episode. When I started, it was just the scriptures from South Africa, okay? And it was the Restoration Scriptures True Name Edition. Then everybody saw that, oh, we can make money with this because it is true. So if we're restoring a truth, ooh, the Yahuwah is going to be on our side. Let's go to the bank. But other than the scriptures from South Africa, we were the first ones. So today there are many, many scriptures, the Aleph Tav, the Sefer, so what you're saying is true, Mordechai, but 20 years later, the RSTNE is not the only game in town. Now we're gonna go hunting for that buffalo. All right. In another episode, we're gonna go hunting for that buffalo. And I'm gonna show you that these other sacred name Bibles are worse than the King James. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're gonna go hunting for that buffalo, but we're not gonna do that today because that's not today's topic. But I want the people to understand what Mordechai just shared with you is not only paramount, it is essential for your growth as a disciple and to be accepted in the beloved. But here today, you have many choices, 10, 12, 15 choices, the Besorah, the Aleph Tav, the Sefer, okay? We're going to go hunting for that buffalo. None of these are all masks. They're all Masoretic rabbinic texts with a few changes and a few masks. We don't put on masks. We are willing to revise and restore the full counsel of Yahuwah. And I bring you back to where we started, because that's where I want to focus. Where we started was Acts chapter 7. He was dealing with a people who believed in the words of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and the corn of Joseph, and the provision of Joseph, and the family of Israel. They had no problem believing those words. But when the Torah was first introduced, because of a slave mentality, they considered it unbiblical, unscriptural, because they didn't have it, because prior generations didn't have it, because it was hidden in the council of Yahuwah, because it was hidden in the third Shemayim, and because it had not been released into the earth. So they rejected it, and the Yahuwah said, you are not Ezekiel 36 people. You have uncircumcised hearts and stiff necks. And what this panel is saying to you through this podcast is, don't be like that. Because Stephen died physically, but he lived spiritually. If you want to be a subject of King James's English court, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, and you'll never grow. You'll never mature. You'll be a baby, and if you're saved, you're saved. Congratulations, but you're not going to be Peter, James, and John. There were 12 disciples. There were only 3 Peter, James, and Johns. How come Yahusha took the 12 and then separated the 3 into a deeper walk, into a deeper revelation? Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be part of the 9? Who were left in high school, or do you want to be part of the 3 that go into the Holy of Holies, and where Yahuwah shows them great and mighty things that they did not know? What part do you want to be, part of the 3 or part of the 9? But those of us who have gotten the restoration scriptures, true name edition, like Mordechai said, we want to be part of the elect. We don't want to be deceived. Even the very elect could be deceived, but because they're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Yahuwah will not allow us to be deceived. Even if possible, the very elect could be deceived. So who are we, this panel? We are part of those very elect that don't want to be deceived. And if we don't want to be deceived, Yahushua is going to make sure that we are what? Not deceived. Brethren, keep going. Let's keep going.
Well, there's a scripture that says that there is a way which seems right unto men, yep, but the end thereof, yep, are the ways of death.
There you go.
You know? And even Joel, the prophet Joel, said that Yahuwah will restore to us.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe this is part of the restoration. Yahuwah is using you for that. And also, I had another scripture in mind, but I...
But while you're thinking about that, I want you to think about this. I'm going to back up this statement. A lot of people are listening to this podcast or not in the church. They think we're crazy, all right? Some will be, and they will contact us, okay? But the Hebrews who think that, oh, I prefer the Sefer, or I prefer, and we're going to go hunting for that buffalo. But I want to say this. I'm going to make a statement that's going to blow your mind. The sacred name Bibles with the name of Yahuwah that are out there right now are 10 times worse. 10 times worse than the King James. Why? Because there are competitors? No. Because the word says, him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. They know the Dead Sea Scrolls are different than the Masoretic. They know the Septuagint, which was based on an older Hebrew 200, 300 years before Yahusha, when it was translated by 70 scholars, is more accurate than the Masoretic. They know these things, but they refuse. All they did was put the sacred name Yahweh, and they didn't make any other changes. I am telling you, to whom much is given, much is required, and all those other sacred name Bibles are worse than the King James, all right? And I'm going to prove my point on a future episode. I'm going to prove my point.
Yep.
So I don't want people to think just because we restored the name that makes us superior. No, there are a million factors. And the main factor is we're not stiff-necked and we're not uncircumcised in heart. When Yahuwah says, I've released this from one of the realms, we receive it and we can verify it. Other things that man releases, we don't accept because it can't be verified. There's 3rd Enoch. It can't be verified. It's not in there. There's second Enoch. I can't verify that stuff. It's not in there. We don't just throw stuff in there. The stuff we throw in there has been verified as much as possible. Okay?
I believe that a lot of people have big resistances against specifically the RSTNE because of fear. Oh, what if they are wrong? What if? But as you just said, everything is verified. If how do we verify? Do we have like a secret panel? They get paid to see if it's right? No, the word of Yahuwah needs to back up the word of Yahuwah. We cannot just assume something is right because it feels like it's right, because it is old enough to be right. There's no such patterns for us to compare with worldly measures. The word of Yahuwah needs to confirm the word of Yahuwah. If it is contradictory, but it is but it feels like it's right, we need to look upon it and see if it's right.
Well, let me ask you a question, brethren. Before the 15th day of the third month, which is coming up very soon, what other versions of the Torah existed? How many nations had a version of the Torah?
None.
You sure now?
Yep. No, correct. And neither did they have Jubilees.
So the only one that had the Torah was Israel, right?
Yep.
And they received it on the 15th day of the third month, correct?
Correct.
How did they receive it?
By revelation.
It was released to them, which means nobody else had it. So when people say, well, if the Restoration Scriptures is so different and so special, how come you're the only ones? And no, because, like you said, Yoshi, the fear to expound, the fear to seek the heart of the Father. What does it mean? I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill the Torah. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Your wife doesn't know what that, nobody knows what that means. But when you dig a little deeper, I have come to reveal it in its intended fullness. Oh, so we're talking about intention. Right. And when we're talking about intention, we're talking about the heart of the Father. Why did the Father say this? Because he wants us to have tzitzit? No. What is the intent of the Father? What is the intention of the Father? You follow me? Yep. So when we read in the Restoration Scriptures, think not that I have come to destroy the Torah, but to fulfill and reveal it in its intended fullness and to confirm my word to the fathers. Oh, my gosh. So, and it's not one jot or tittle that the rabbis put under the consonants that's not going to disappear. The vowel pointing is not going to disappear. No, every davar will not disappear. So my point is, we claim exclusivity, not because the material is not available to other translators or compilers of sacred name scriptures, but they refuse to add it to their compilation. So how many versions of the Torah were there in the day when the Torah was released? One. Couldn't the other nations have copied the Torah in their own language? Yes. But it was entrusted to one. And at the time that it was entrusted, no one else had it. This is being entrusted to us here at the RSTNE. And this panel is telling you that we are going to be good stewards of that trust, and we're not going to betray the Heavenly Father by betraying that trust.
In the same courage that we have of receiving, for instance, the book of Isaiah, we need to have to receive the other so-called apocrypha that basically means hidden books, because nobody here went to Israel to see the Isaiah scroll. That is one of the only complete scrolls that we have access to. So how is that different from the book of Hanukkah if it doesn't contradict the Torah? So this resistance is about fear, and Yahuwah didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Soundness means clearness, means clarity, and clarity comes by listening to things that you can verify if you have the resources at your hand. This is what we are promoting here. It is not about making money, because it's free online. If it was about making money, nobody here would ever put something online. And if Sholeach had the fear of saying, oh, they are going to copy my work, but it is to be copied. Now, as you just said, if the Torah was copied in other languages, well, we wouldn't be.
Let me tell you why I put it online. I put it online to shut the mouth of the liars. Now, you shall not sell the word of Yahuwah. And we get that over and over again. And I kept telling people, if I put out a color scripture and it costs me $50 and I sell it to you for $70 or $80, you should be happy that $30 is going to the work of the gospel. But you're not happy. You're complaining that we're charging for the word of Yahuwah. So I said, you know what, devil? I'm going to pull your molars out. I'm going to pull your baby teeth out. Not only am I going to put it online, go ahead and copy and paste it. And if you're stupid enough to print 1,000 pages, be my guest. Nobody has a printer that's going to survive printing 1,000 pages. I don't care. Okay, we need to get the word out. We are custodians. We are to be good stewards. And yes, the RSTNE is head above shoulders above every other translation, but it doesn't have to be that way because of the spirit of fear that is holding these people back from what the Zadokites wrote. People are even afraid to restore what the Zadokites wrote, despite the fact that in Ezekiel 44, it says that the Zadokites will teach my people my Torah and will declare right rulings based on Deuteronomy 17. Amen. Deuteronomy 17 does not mean go to the rabbis and they're going to tell you what to do. The first thing they're going to tell you what to do is how to reject Yahushua of Nazareth.
Are you with me? Yeah, I love you.
Deuteronomy 17 is about going to the ones that Yahuwah has commissioned, which are the Zadokites. So when we have the Zadokite manuscripts confirming and giving us a bigger revelation, like Isaiah 53, it doesn't say that he will just die. It says he will die and then he will see the light I will prosper his seed. Well, how can his seed prosper? And how can a dead man see light unless he is risen to the light and resurrects to the light? So these little additions, one word, two words, three words, they refuse to put back in the text. And they're sticking with Cloverdale, they're sticking with Tyndale, and loyalty to the king's court. Okay? And this is what fear does. It cripples. And if Yahuwah has not given us a spirit of fear, he hasn't given us translations based on fear. So when you really think about it, this resistance to change, it's a spirit, right? The spirit of fear.
Yep.
And that spirits inhabit things, people, places, and things. There's a spirit of fear in those scriptures that says, don't change me. Don't add a period. Don't add a jot. Don't add a tittle. Even when the Zadokites have two words that make a difference, even when the Aramaic Peshitta has two words that can give us the intent of the Father. Again, back to Matthew 5. Think not that I have come to destroy the Torah or the prophets, not to come, but to fulfill. Watch this now, to reveal in the intended fullness. That's what we're all about, right, guys? Revealing it, not to change it, but in the original intention. The original intention es muy importante. The original intention, which is the heart of the Father. So we can reach the heart of the Father and give it to the people. The original intention, just like Genesis 3:15. We call that the proto-evangelium. Why? Because the original intention was, despite Adam and Eve, to bring man back to him. Everything else is gravy. That's the mashed potatoes. Everything else is gravy. So the original intention of blood was to cover, ignore, atone, pardon, and bring man back. That's why we call it the first. So Genesis 3:15 is mucho importante. Why? Because it reveals the intended fullness of the proto-evangelium.
Yep. And even if this that we are doing, if this doesn't sell to you, Acts 3:21 makes it clear. The restoration of all things. How can something be restored if it's dead and set in stone forever? It cannot be restored. If it was already restored, that passage wouldn't exist. And remember, that was written like thousands of years ago. So what happened? The restoration stopped and nobody cared about, you know, correcting that sentence. We are still in the age. I hate when people say, oh, we're not in biblical times anymore. We are. The world's still standing.
That's right.
It didn't come back. So we are in the time of restoration. We are still alive, breathing. I don't have wings yet. So we are still in biblical times.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yes, that's right.
And especially my generation, for you younger people that are listening, that are my age, I'm 26. I ain't supposed to be here, but Yahuwah put me here. So Let's do something about that.
Hallelujah.
Say that again. We're still living. We're still living in biblical time. That right, Mordecai, do you realize that how brilliant that is? Because you've heard say, oh, we're not in biblical, these are different. No. If he's still restoring stuff, we are still in biblical time.
If the Messiah hasn't returned, which he has not, because my wife is in pain right now, and he is supposed to remove all pain, suffering, and sadness. So he didn't do it right now. He didn't do it yet. We are still in the restoration of all things time.
Yes.
It is a process. To him, it's like 2 days. For us, it's thousands of years. So if we are supposed to restore, let's restore. Let's not be stuck in fear of thinking, oh, he's going to punish me. He's going to destroy my house. No, he ain't going to do that. He's going to do that if you change the context of things, if you start putting your own doctrine in it, as King James did. And the House of Windsor is not that good because the king is an old geezer. So it's not being good for them. So we are supposed to preserve his manuscript. Let's say I'm translating the scriptures to Brazilian Portuguese. How is a Brazilian supposed to understand an action that was normal 6,000 years ago? I need to relate the information in a way that people understand. That doesn't mean I'm destroying the context or moving anything. It just means that I'm putting it in a way that people are going to understand. Adding and subtracting to the word is basically taking out the passage where Yahusha said that I am of the Father and the Father is mine. That is a heresy, that I'm basically denying Yahusha's deity. That is just an example. But adding and changing things according to the revelation as they are given is not wrong. It actually was supposed to happen. Actually, in Zechariah chapter 14, it also talks about restoration. Acts 3:21. The word is being restored through us. Not that we are special or anything, but he chose some people to do the work.
Because we're still in biblical time.
We are still in biblical time.
See, the apostles of the first century and those who were alive at the time of Yahusha, they thought the same way. They thought biblical times or Torah times were back in the days of the Exodus. And we're modern because we're now in Jerusalem. We're no longer in Egypt. We're in our homeland. We're in Israel. So they thought that we are no longer in Torah times. We're waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But they thought the same way, when the truth was that the Brit Chadashah had not even been written and revealed. So they were still living. See, that paradigm shift nails it right there, that we are still in Torah times and we are still in biblical times, which means that there could be another Mount Sinai next week. Yep. There could be another revelation coming from Mount Calvary next month. That mindset right there, that paradigm shift, is incredibly poignant. And I hope our listeners in this episode, the second episode of the panel, can appreciate what is being said here. They thought biblical times are over until Yahushua had to teach them differently. We think biblical times are over. Once we realize that until the kingdom starts, the Atid Lavo, when Yahushua sets foot on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14, that we have to allow the Ruach to reveal stuff to us, okay, that is currently not revealed, that will not change the word of Yahuwah, but it sure will elaborate on it. We're in the age of elaboration, not dispensationalism, where you have to get rid of the old covenant to establish a new covenant, as opposed to stacking. And it's very appropriate that Brother Mordechai has all the previous editions of the RSTNE stacked, because that's how Yahuwah builds his kingdom. He doesn't remove the first edition and release the second edition, or remove the second edition to release the third edition. The reason we have so many editions is because he builds Israel by stacking. He builds one revelation upon another. And the foundation, the cornerstone, is Yahusha. Before I forget, look at this. Brethren, hold your thought, because we still have a few more minutes. In Psalm 12, verses 6 through 8. Psalm Tehillim 12, verses 6 through 8. Watch this. The words of Yahuwah, so we're talking about the word, the R-S-T-N-E, the word of Yahuwah, are pure words. So in other words, we're getting the impurities out, okay? So part of what we're doing in this restoration is not changing the word, Yah forbid, but getting the impurities out. The words of Yahuwah are pure words, like silver that is tried and purified in the furnace of the earth and is purified seven times. You shall keep them, Yahuwah. You shall preserve your words. So Yahuwah not only will keep his words and preserve his words, watch this. It is hidden in the furnace of the earth. You're not listening. Someone's not listening out there because they're doing their own thing. I know you guys are. Psalm 12, verses 6 through 8. Yahuwah's words are being tried and preserved, hidden, and like a refiner's fire, in the furnace of the earth because it's being purified seven times, waiting for the perfect time, seven being the number of perfection, to be released into this world. Now, I'm going to say that again. This is profound. We are living in biblical times. There's stuff in the earth right now that is being refined like a refiner's fire, silver, in a furnace in the earth that is being purified seven times, seven at the perfect time, just like Yahusha and the fullness of time, being the living word, the living Torah, will be released into the earth. And when it's released, will all those other translators be there ready to receive it and catch it? We will. Because whatever is being purified seven times in the middle of the earth and it's about to come out, we're going to be there to catch it. They may have put their nets away. Our nets are out there waiting for that seven-time purification. Because some of the words that are in the earth have only been purified five times, four times. We're waiting for every word to be purified seven times and then entrusted to someone. We are that someone. Now, if others start doing what we're doing, we're going to promote their version. If others are including the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Samaritan Torah and the Zadokite records, we will promote their scriptures as well. This is not about promotion. This is, in essence, about restoration. Why do we need you to buy Bibles? Because how do you think we fund our work? We already made it free, right? We already made it free. So when you buy five copies and you only need three, when you buy nine copies and you only need one, what are you doing? You're saying, yep, I'm with you. Let's get all these words out of the earth or wherever they're being stored, and let's release them because we're still in biblical time.
And despite the fact that, just a little final thought, despite the fact that...
Roughly seven minutes.
Yep. Despite the fact that we still have the internet, there are a lot of countries out there that don't have internet. They need the access of books. So sometimes, okay, I need just three. Buy four to get to someone else, somebody in Ethiopia, somebody in Nairobi, Egypt. I don't know. People need to be reached. That's how we do it, because some people don't have internet connection. If they don't do, they need to be presented a different way.
Before I turn this over to Mordechai, let me give you a perfect example. I packed two restoration scriptures to send to Pakistan. Then I unpacked it. Why? $250 shipping and customs. We don't have that kind of money. So when people are investing in the kingdom with the restoration scriptures, we're able to do that. Exactly what you said. They don't have the ability in many ways, because those people don't even have cell phones. So I was about to send them two copies because we want to reach out, and I had to open the box. I couldn't afford to spend $250 on shipping and customs. So it's so important that we use all the tools that we have, including the online versions, and that you support us so that we do have that money. It's insane to spend $250 on shipping and customs, but that's how special the RSTNE is. Mordechai, you wanted to chip in earlier?
Yeah, I had a scripture here to read, but I wanted to ask you, do you have the restoration of scriptures in Spanish?
We do.
Okay.
But not fully updated because of the lack of personnel. You know, we don't have the personnel. Mariani has other things and so forth, but we do have it available in Spanish.
Okay, I had a scripture here. I can find it right now.
But not fully updated.
Give me a minute to find this scripture. It's 2 Thessalonians 2.
But while you're doing it, go ahead. Just let us know when you're there. While you're doing it.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Just raise your hand and you can read it and interrupt us.
Okay.
But the thing is, we really have covered this better than I thought, because this first topic that we began with the first episode. I think we really covered it because the topic was, why has no one else done this when they should be doing this if they have the same ruach? I'll give you an example. The restoration of the times of Zadok, the Moadim, and to rightly divide time. We have everybody doing it now. We have, it's a wind, like a wind, it doesn't stay in one place. It sweeps. And we have the same thing here. So if the same wind is moving, why are there others not stepping forward and overcoming their fears and overcoming their traditions? And I think we covered it pretty well here. And I don't think we need to address this again as to why we're the only ones. If this is really a move of the Ruach, why are we the only ones? I think we covered it pretty well. Why was the Torah only given to Israel? Why was the Torah only given in Hebrew? Why was there only one group of people that were to proclaim what was being given? So, and being in biblical times, like Yoshi said. So I think we did a very good job in this episode of covering why we're the only ones. Go ahead, Mordechai. You find it yet or not yet?
Yes. Second Thessalonians is verse 10. This scripture talks about when the anti-Mashiach will come back in those days. But I believe that deception is starting now, even from before. Because scripture says that the anti-Mashiach, that spirit is already in the world.
That's right. You know?
And I believe that if Ezekiel 36 and verse 27 says that the Ruach HaKodesh will bring us into keeping the Torah, anything that tells you not to keep the Torah is sin. Sin, it is, according to scriptures, the transgression to the Torah.
That's right.
That's another thing that the other translation, the Christian translations, it says law for everything. Law comes from the word nomos. Nomos is any kind of law. Mm-hmm. But the restoration of scriptures will tell you when is the that word law means the Torah of Yah.
Or man's law. We differentiate.
Yeah, with this it tell you the difference. But Second Thessalonians 2, it says, verse 10, it says, and with all our righteousness and deception, wait a minute. Why can I? Give me a minute. I had it right here. Oh, and hold on, righteousness. And for this reason, Yahuwah was sent a strong delusion.
Yes.
That they should believe a lie.
Yes.
That they all be condemned who did not believe the truth, the emet, okay, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Right.
What is truth? What is truth? Yahusha said, your word is truth.
That's right.
Your Torah is truth.
That's right.
Okay. And
but all parts of the Torah from three realms. We'll talk about that in a future episode. From heaven, from earth, and under the earth, right? There are three realms where revelation of the word is coming from. These other translations are stuck to one realm, okay? The stuff that came from heaven centuries ago. Nothing's overseas anymore, and nothing's in the ground anymore, which directly contradicts what the Torah says, right?
Yep.
Baruch Hashem Yahuwah. We got a couple more minutes. This has been absolutely an eye-opener. And so we have that. Well, you were just talking about the Thessalonians there and this deceiving. Now, what's very that's what I wanted to. The RSTNE in Romans 10:4, that's a perfect place to go. Okay, and I don't want to put it up on the screen for the sake of time. Like Mordechai was saying, the RSTNE differentiates between nomos from the hand of Yahuwah and nomos from King James, Clovendale, Tyndale, and Uncle Fester and the Adams family, okay? So nomos does not mean Torah. Nomos can mean, depending on the context, man's ways, which could be biblical or unbiblical, or Yahuwah's ways. And the Restoration Scriptures True Name Edition is the only one I know that differentiates between, in proper context, between Yahuwah's nomos and man's nomos. A perfect example is Romans 10 and 4, where in traditional translations, Messiah is the end of the Torah for all who believe. But in the Restoration Scriptures, Messiah is the goal at which the Torah aims. So when we accept Messiah, bingo, the Torah serves its purpose. See the difference between the end of the Torah versus the purpose of the Torah. See, and we capture that. Not just that in that one verse, but in every verse in the Restoration Scriptures, we capture that the purpose of the Torah, not just the letter of the Torah. And like Mordechai was saying, we differentiate between man's nomos, local ordinances or city and village ordinances, versus heavenly ordinances that are required for all generations in all your dwellings. And we capture that difference. Any closing thoughts, gentlemen? We'll start with Brother Yoshiyahu and then Brother Mordechai, and we'll conclude this episode. Go ahead.
I believe that was it. We put some insight into the importance of, you know, leaving tradition for the sake of truth. Not that all tradition is wrong. A lot of tradition in Brazil here reflect the Torah. That this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about replacing the right words of Yahuwah for tradition, for the sake of keeping family bonds, for the sake of not facing comfort zone issues. The importance of the right word in the right time, in the right season, is more than just knowing names in another language, of knowing Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. We're talking about salvation issues, because if we have the premise wrong, the conclusion, the eternal life, is going to be wrongfully understood. So right. I believe we tackled the importance of having conversion.
And the Pharisees spoke perfect Hebrew, and they said to Paul, away with this man. It's not fit that he should live. Because they didn't, what you hit on earlier, they didn't realize they were still living in the time of biblical revelation. If you ask 4.999999 billion out of 5 billion people, are we still living in biblical times? Is revelation still flowing? Or have biblical times ended with the apostles? You know what the answer would be. We reject that. If you're listening to this podcast, join us and return to the living Yahuwah and the living oracles, because we reject that. We are still in biblical times. Man, that was profound. For a young man, that was, for an old man, that was profound.
Well, I want to praise Yah.
You're getting a kiss after this episode for that one. That was special, man. That was special. Go ahead, Mordechai.
Yeah, I want to praise Yah that I'm here in this discussion and round table. And I want to thank you for inviting me. And also, I want to say to the people in the church that the pastors are not your savior. Yahusha Mashiach is your savior. I want to say that as long as you there in the church and you not go to the Hebraic ways or the ways of Yahuwah, you're going to be very confused. I want to read to you before we go Matthew 23, verse 1 from the Restoration of Scriptures. It says, Then spoke Yahusha to the multitude and to his Talmudim, to his disciples, saying, the Shofrim and the Perishim, the scribes and the Pharisees, sit at Moses' seat, or seat at Moses' kese. Okay? Or therefore the Moses' throne, or Moses' kese, Moses' seat, will invite you to observe, not observe and do, but do not do after their mitzvah. And let me explain that, for they say and do not. So any of us that are Hebrews, it is considered we sit on Moses' seat because we follow Torah, which is the commandment forever and for all generations. And Yahusha is telling you that when Moses' seat tells you to keep Torah, to keep the Torah, that observe. But if we do any unrighteousness, or anything that is not written in the Torah, don't do after that. The Restoration of Scriptures True Name Edition, all that is doing is bringing you to the blessed Torah. He's bringing you to what they used to do back then.
Right.
So I'm inviting
more of the Torah, not less.
More. Amen.
See,
what is the Torah?
These other sacred name Bibles, okay, they want you to do the Torah allegedly, but not more of the Torah. Not the Torah that is being purified in their sixth stage and fifth stage and hasn't been released into the earth because it's not in stage seven. Just like there are stages of cancer, right? Stage one, stage, there are stages of purification of the word of Yahuwah. And we believe that the RSTNE is the stuff that's been released, meaning permitted for us to restore, getting back to what you were saying, Matthew 23. Keep the Torah. Don't do what the Pharisees do, but do the part that they say. But then here comes Yahushua and say, okay, now that you're done doing the part that they say, I have come to completely reveal and explain in its intended fullness. So also do the part that I'm showing you that they're not doing. He's saying do what they do, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that is Torah that they don't accept as Torah that I'm showing you, you also need to do. Wow, man, I'm preaching to myself, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Man, I'll tell you, this was
hallelujah.
When we started out, I'm like, this is the first two episodes, the people, they may not like us, the people. And now at the end of the second episode, I have perfect shalom, the shalom that passes all understanding. Brethren, I want to thank you for being part of this panel. And Mordechai, you were thankful for being here, but the good news is you're going to still be here because we want you on this panel forever. Now, in the future, we may add guests. We may have, you know, freshen things up a little bit, you know, maybe help knock some of the rocks out of our head that are still there. But we want you to share this podcast. We want you to invite others to be part of this podcast. And don't miss a thing because we're going to be coming to you with new episodes on Thursdays, as many Thursdays as possible. And in the meantime, shalom, shalom, and we love you, and we'll see you soon.
Shalom, people.
Shalom. Shalom, everybody.
Hi there. Welcome to the RSTNE Roundtable Podcast, a discussion that focuses in the gold standard of